I always get it the wrong way around, but I think I entitled it Faith That Overcomes. And we're going to do this over these next 2 weeks. So this will be part one this week. Faith That Overcomes. God's been talking to us in recent times about the need for us to have the fire of the Holy Spirit burning inside of us. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be Christians, believers, who are burning with a passion in love for Him.
Amen.
He wants us to be so happy and so excited about loving Him and serving Him, and let that passion and that love and that fire burn within us. And you know, someone who's on fire, I don't know if you've ever seen someone caught on fire, but they don't usually hang around.
No.
Have you noticed that? When you see a Formula One driver catch on fire, he usually runs and rolls around on the ground, and they smother him until the fire goes out. Well, we want to be Christians who are on fire for God, not to run around and for us to be smothered. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to smother the fire. But we have a fire burning inside of us, and we need to run with that fire. In other words, if you're on fire for God, you can't but help get that fire out of you to other Christians, other believers, other leaders. You want to tell people who don't know about Him. There's something burning inside of you that is irrepressible. It cannot be stopped. And, you know, in John 10, Jesus talks about the wells of living water. And he said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullness or abundance. And it literally means, in the Greek, it means to have such an awesome overflow that's coming out of your life. It's like being on mains pressure that you can't actually stop it. And the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to keep meeting with Him in your own time with God. Get before God and meet with Him in His holiness. Meet with Him in His fire. Because as you seek God and as you meet with God, and as you have that intimacy with the Lord, in other words, spending time listening to Him and worshipping Him, He will speak to you and He will change you and me. Amen. And that's what this is all about, the fire of God. We need the fire of God. The church needs the fire of God. And last week we spoke about how that Christ is living in us. And we focused last week on the fact that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of us. Amen. And we talked about, if you remember, Pete Rowlandson went up there and he pretended he was Jesus. Okay, he was, before he came from heaven, became a man, and we just went through the whole thing of the gospel, really the gospel, what the gospel is all about. And the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we learn that God sent His Son not just to die for our sins, not just to deal with the past, not just to break the curses of the devil, not just to overcome Satan and death, but He actually came to give us, and this was His primary objective, was to give us His Spirit. It was to give us His life and His fire and His presence so that He could literally come and indwell us through the Holy Spirit. And I reckon we constantly need a growing revelation of Christ living in us. I reckon that we need a constant revelation of Christ living in us, because if we realize that Jesus Christ, who walked around on this earth 2,000 years ago and did all the things that He did and said all the things that He said, He's living in us. Amen. Then that's awesome. That means that nothing is impossible for you. Amen. Because you've got the greater one living in you this morning. Greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And I just want to follow through, kind of flow on from that this week. And we're going to talk about faith that overcomes. Are there any situations you're facing today that actually you need to overcome? Are there any situations you're facing today that look like they're impossible situations? Naturally, I'm speaking naturally. Yeah? Are any of you facing things, or you know people that you're involved with that really need a miracle, that they really need a change to take place? Well, the good news in the Word of God to us is that He has given us Christ who is living in us, but He's also given us faith, and it's faith that enables us to overcome. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, when He was here, when our Lord was here, He overcame in every situation. I can't think of any situation where Jesus didn't overcome. Whatever He faced, He always overcame, because He was an overcomer. And the reason He was an overcomer wasn't just because He was the Son of God, But the reason he overcame was because he used the faith that he'd been given. And I want to talk about this morning so that God, and pray that God will give us a spirit of revelation this morning to understand that he's given us incredible faith and what this faith can do to enable us to break through, to enable us to overcome, to enable us to enable others to overcome as well. Is this making sense? The word overcome means literally to overcome some obstacle, overcome some difficulty, overcome something that is impossible and cause it to happen, cause it to be changed, a change in circumstances. Hallelujah. So would you come with me to Galatians chapter 2, please? Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to start reading there in a minute. While you're turning there, just to remind ourselves that faith, it says in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not yet seen in the natural, okay, before us. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not yet seen or not yet happened. And this is the way that faith works. God is a God of faith, isn't he?
Amen.
He is faithful. It literally means he is full of faith. And the good news for you and me is that he wants us to live by faith. And he would never ask us to do something that we can't do. He's going to give us something, an ability to live the overcoming life. Okay? Faith that overcomes. And the other meaning in the Greek is that in Hebrews 11:1 it says that faith is the title deed. So you've heard me talk about this before, but the title deed, when you have the title deed to a property, once that title deed has been signed over to you and you've got it in your hand or in your pocket, even though you may not have yet moved into the house, even though you may have the house on the other side of the world, say in Australia or somewhere nice and sunny like Brazil, Marcia, okay? Once you've got that title deed, it's yours.
Amen.
Now, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. That means I've got things in my title deed from God. I could list a long list of things that form that title deed that I haven't got yet physically or naturally. They haven't come to pass yet, but they are promises, they are words, they are pictures, they are things that God has spoken to me that I've got in here.
Amen.
And so I need to exercise my faith in God to see those things come to pass, because I know he spoke those things and I know they will come to pass because he said they would. Amen. Now that's faith. That's faith in operation. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says this. It says that God framed the worlds. That means the planets. You know, we had that great film the other week, didn't we? That DVD, How Great Is Our God, those of you that were here. It was incredible when Louis, what's his name, Giglio, was it? When he's describing and talking about the awesome greatness of our God. And it says that God, when he created the planets and the stars and the universe, it says that he framed these things by the word of God. In other words, he formed these things by his word. He literally spoke the word of God. And the reason it's in Hebrews chapter 11, which we know it's the book of faith, it's the heroes of faith, it's all about faith. The reason it's in there in verse 2 is to remind us that nothing will happen. You cannot overcome with faith unless you speak. Unless you speak the word that God is speaking, unless you speak out his word, nothing can be formed. And God himself, because he is full of faith and because he is a faithful God, when he created the heavens and the earth, it says everything that we see was made out of stuff that isn't visible. Everything that we see is made out of invisible things. Everything that we see today came not through the Big Bang, but God created it through the word of his mouth. He said, let there be light, and there was
light.
He said, let us make man in our own image, and he created Adam. He spoke the word. He literally spoke out what he himself already saw in his mind. What he already had faith for, God spoke out. And in the same way, God says, I want you to do the same things. This is how I operate by faith. God operates by faith all the time. And he says, now I want you, you're my child, you believe in me, you know me, I'm living in you this morning, and I've given you my spirit. So the way that your faith will work is you see the thing that God sees, you hear what God has to say about something, and then you believe him, and you begin to speak out those things that God has spoken. You begin to pray out the word, whether it's a scripture that God gives you or a particular thing that he gives you while you're praying, and you begin to declare it. You speak it out. You pray it out. Like we're praying this morning about Oriel School. Like we prayed some things that we believe in God for.
Amen.
So we see God opening a new door of opportunity. We see favor coming into this school afresh, in a fresh way. We see God moving here. We see that God will open a door here so that the gospel can come in a fresh way, in a new way. Amen. It's the way that faith works. And in Romans 10, verse 17, I know you're waiting in Galatians 2, but in Romans 10, verse 17, right, it says there that faith comes by hearing. All got your earrings this morning. Faith comes by hearing, listening. And it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. So faith is activated, or faith comes up through hearing God speak to you. I mean, you can be going through a real difficulty. Let's just suppose your finances are really down in the red. And someone gives you a phone call and says there's £100,000 on the way to you. It's winging its way to you, okay? I haven't got it yet, but it's on its way to you. It'll be with you shortly. What will that do with you if you're seriously in debt?
Make me very happy.
Make you very happy. It'll activate something on the inside of you. That will be relieved, it will be happy, it will make you dance up and down, and you'll know that everything is going to be taken care of. You respond to the word. You respond to the good news. And in the same way, if you listen and tune in to the Holy Spirit and tune into God's word, you'll hear God speaking things to you that can change everything around, even though they may not look terribly good at the moment. They may look as black as they've ever looked, perhaps even blacker. But when God speaks that word, everything changes, because you know God has spoken his word. And once his word has been spoken, then it's now over to you and me to activate our faith and put our trust in God and pray the thing through till it comes to pass. That's our part in faith. That's our part. God could do it all on his own, but God has chosen to work in a partnership with us where he wants us to exercise faith in him. And so together we see people being healed. We see people being saved. We see finances being released. We see circumstances change, completely change and turn around, because somebody was in a position of faith and they were believing God and trusting God. Let's go to Galatians 2, and you're all there, I'm sure, waiting patiently, and here we are in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified or reckoned or declared righteous by the works of the law, but he is justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. What's this saying? This is saying that when we first become Christians, when we first believe, it's not based on what we've done, because what we've done is we've sinned. But when we get saved, we repent, and in our helpless state, we turn to Christ and ask him to forgive us our sins, to wash us in his blood, and we literally turn around and say, God, I'm not going to go my way any longer. Life is too hard without you. I'm going to hand my life over to you and let you be Lord of my life. And when that happens, and the Lord Jesus comes and we welcome him into our life through prayer, we receive him into our lives, we literally receive the gift of Jesus Christ. We receive the gift of his spirit, don't we? That's how we get born again. We receive a new nature. And it says here that knowing that a man is not declared righteous by the works of the law, in other words, by the things that he does, do you know you are declared righteous before God? You are made righteous before God, not by anything you have done or haven't done, but simply because you put your faith in the beautiful, wonderful sacrifice of Christ on the cross for you.
Amen.
It's a gift. And the Bible says in, I think it's in Romans 5, it says in some verse in there, it says that we have received the abundance of grace, the overflow of grace from God, and the gift of righteousness, so that we can reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. So what's this saying? It's saying here that God has given us the gift of right standing with himself. But not just right standing, he's actually given to us, imparted to us, his righteousness. And so if Simon, for example, this morning, was to be raptured, and go up to heaven this morning into the presence of God, God would say to him that he'd be welcomed right into heaven. Why? Because he's born again, because he received Jesus into his life in 2001, on July the 4th. And when that happened, he got born again, and he received the gift of righteousness. That gift says, Simon, all your sins are blotted out, all your past is forgiven, I've cut off the devil over your life, his power is broken over you, and here's the gift of my life coming into you right now, and I've made you completely right with me. You are completely accepted. I won't bring up your past ever again. It's washed in the blood of Jesus, it's forgiven and forgotten forever, and I've made you brand new. Now, this is my righteousness, he says. This is the righteousness or the holiness of Jesus. This is the nature of Jesus Christ in the Spirit living now in Simon. Amen. So guess what? When we die, we immediately, our spirit goes up to be with the Lord in heaven, because we've been totally cleansed of our past, of our sins, and we've been given the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. Which means that we are totally acceptable in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It means we can stand before God accepted, totally accepted. All that rejection is washed away in the blood of Jesus. We are accepted this morning totally and absolutely and completely. We're at peace with God. Amen. This is the Bible, what the Bible says about righteousness. So righteousness is a gift from God. It's the new nature that you have. Now, if you live your Christian life based on that truth, it'll revolutionize your life. Because if you know that you're right with God, he's given you his righteousness, you've received, that's your new nature. You don't have to live any longer out of the old stuff. You don't have to live in rejection. You don't have to live in some of the old ways of thinking. You don't have to live in some of the old habits that you used to get up to. It's your choice now. You have a new nature. And you can live out of the new righteousness that you have through faith in Christ who is living in you. And if you understand this, if you understand that you in this new nature is everything that you need, and that in that new nature you're totally acceptable in God, you can reign in this life, not just when you get to heaven, but you can reign in this life through the one Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Awesome. And God really wants to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to open our eyes to help us to see what we really have and who we really are in Christ this morning, so that we're not just Christians, but we are born again, we are full of the Holy Spirit, we have the very life of Jesus Christ, we have his holiness, we have his righteous nature inside of us. So why don't we live out of it, out of that righteousness? Because that's where the righteous works then come from. Out of our new nature, we will then do new things. Out of our new nature in God, out of this holiness, this righteousness that we've received from Jesus, we can then do righteous works, good works, godly works through faith in him. Hallelujah. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So Paul is talking here to the Christians in a place called Galatia, and he's saying to them, listen, you received righteousness right at the beginning. And it was through your faith in God, nothing to do with what you have done or haven't done. It was through your faith in God that you received Jesus Christ into your life. And he is saying this is how you need to live every day. You need to live in this. You need to live by faith, not trying to find your identity in what you do, but find your identity in who you are in Christ and who he is in you. That will set a lot of us free from trying to be something or trying to do stuff. Once we know who we are in Christ, you can just relax.
Yeah,
I'm just going to be who I am and let God do the rest. Let God sort out the things he's promised for me. And God will do it as I follow him in faith. Does this make sense?
Amen, yes.
Verse 19, for I through the law die to the law that I might live to God. Verse 20, and I just want to really focus on this morning. This wonderful verse that some of us perhaps know quite well. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the body, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. What beautiful scripture. What incredible truth. That 2,000 years ago, you were crucified on a cross. Amen. Your old life, your old sinful life was crucified on the cross of Jesus. Jesus included you in his death. We talked about it last week, but it's good to talk about it this week as well. That he carried not just our sins, but he carried your old life there and crucified it on the cross. He broke the power of your old sinful life, and he's given you his resurrection life now, so you can live by a new life. You can live by that righteous life that he's given to you. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. You know, if we believe this, that it's no longer I that lives, not the person that I was now before I met Jesus, but my identity now is Christ is living in me. Christ is my life. He and I are one together. That's my identity.
Amen.
We are absolutely one together. It's like being, well, it is. It's being married to God. When you become a Christian, don't any of you say, I'm not married. You are. You're married to, if you're born again, you're married to God. Because what actually happens is the Holy Spirit comes and quickens you and gives you a new heart and a new spirit. And when he gives you a new spirit, you are joined to God forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He comes to live in your spirit. And in that new nature is where that's where we worship God from our spirit. When we're here on a Sunday and we have the words up on the wall there, there's two ways that we can worship the Lord. We can worship him from up here, or we can worship him from our spirit. From our depths, that's the spirit. And as you worship the Lord from the spirit, then you'll begin to really meet with God in our times of worship. You'll begin to hear God speaking to you and showing you things in the worship time, if you operate from here. It's the same with prayer. You can pray from up here, praying what you think, or you can pray from your spirit and then let it come through your mind, but you pray from a deeper place. And when you pray from the spirit, life will flow out.
Amen.
Amen. It's like when we witness to people, when we're telling people about Jesus, we can witness from up here, just to give them facts and figures, and bore them, and kill them, right? Or we can mince them from the spirit, and actually we're actually speaking right into their spirit, in their heart. And when we do that, it carries the life and the power of God goes in there, and you leave a deposit in somebody. That's why we never have to push them, because the Holy Spirit is doing a work already before you and I ever turned up, and he's depositing something in that person's life. And what we need to do is to be sensitive in the Spirit to where we've met them on their journey. And that also takes the sweat out of witnessing. It doesn't mean to say that we have to lead everyone to the Lord. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading, and there's some that we need to lead to the Lord, and there's others that we need to leave them in his hands. But we need to be faithful to minister from the Spirit. Amen. Well, it says here, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's living in you this morning. If you've believed and received Jesus, he's living in you. And if you haven't, then you can. You can receive him to be your Lord and Savior, and he'll make everything new. And it says, the life which I now live in the body, in the flesh, I live by faith. Now, what does it say in your Bible? Could a few of you just read out what it says there, that last little bit? I live by, what does it say? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I looked it up in the Greek yesterday, and it says I live by, it actually says I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now it can be the faith of the Son of God or the faith in the Son of God, but the actual, in my Greek New Testament, actually says, it emphasizes of. Now listen, if Christ is living in me, if we've received him as our Savior, and he's made us right, we have his righteousness, we have his power, his holiness living inside of us, and we can, out of that, we can live the Christian life and overcome. It says here that the life which I now live in the body, here on earth. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's this saying? This is saying that your faith, the faith that you have, is the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is saying that the faith that you've received, when you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, you've actually received his faith. The faith of the Son of God. It's his faith that is working in you. Right? It's his faith. It's his faith working in you. It says that we're to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2,000 years ago he did that, so that I could live by his faith. Amen. Do you want me to give you an example?
Yes.
Would you like me to give you an example? Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's just quickly go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, I think it is. And just see how this faith of Jesus Christ, how his faith that has been given to us really works, if we'll let it. Okay, it's Acts chapter 3, and it says here, verse 1, Acts chapter 3, if you just imagine this, Peter and John, and when Claire and I went out to Israel, and we went with some of the guys from Horsham there a little bit over a year ago, we went up the steps to where the temple would have been. And these steps, they're not just a few steps, there's loads of steps. And they're quite steep steps as well. And it says here, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man came from... a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. In other words, he was begging for money and goods. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them also. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold, I don't have any. But this is what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Can you just imagine this happening? That this lame man has been there for a long, long, long time. And Peter is in faith. Whose faith does he have?
God's
faith. And God has given him this faith to operate with. And Peter already, as he's talking to this man, has faith that in an instant he knows that this is the day and God is going to heal this man completely. And so Peter's response is, "Look, I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold." They're probably giving it all away. But he says, "What I do have is faith." He didn't actually say that, but that's what he's actually exercising his faith. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And as he speaks those words, he didn't just pray a quiet prayer. He didn't say, "Oh, I'll go away and pray for you at home." He said, he didn't even ask me if he'd like to be prayed for. That's interesting, isn't it? He just said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's the first thing that happened after this act of faith and declaration. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, in this season that we're in right now, you and I are going to see some awesome miracles.
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Amen.
We're already seeing them, but there's a whole flow of the miraculous that God is wanting to release into the church.
Amen.
And it's not just sort of the odd person here or the anointed leader here or the anointed evangelist here, but this anointing is going to rise up within the church. This anointing is going to rise up within the people of God. And we're going to have, I'm looking forward to the day when we start the meeting. Let's say Sarah was leading like this morning, and when she says only three faith reports and there's about 30 hands shoot up, because of the miracles and the healings and the people who got saved during the course of the week.
Amen.
Now that's when we live in that kind of faith, and that's the kind of faith God has for us, that's the kind of faith God wants us to be walking in, where awesome things are happening all the time. And we know that's some people call that revival, where people are being saved, where there's an ongoing move of the Spirit, where the whole church life is changed. And we are then influencing our town, our cities, our regions, and our nation. This is what God has for us as a people. And it says here, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we've made this man walk?" So he's now identifying how this miracle happened. Now take a note of this. He says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One, the just one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Now listen to this, verse 16, if you look there, it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him." Did you see that? Did you hear that? Yes. "The faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Amen. When we pray for people, I know when I pray for people, if I don't have the faith of God working in me, I can't pray for them. I can pray a general prayer for them, but I can't pray that they will be healed unless I have the word of faith in me. Does that make sense? Now, it's God's will to heal the sick, but I'm talking about operating in his faith, using his faith. And we need to understand that God has given us his righteousness in Christ. He's given us his Spirit. He's living in us. And we need to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit who's living in us, because the Lord will release faith in you to speak his word, or to pray for someone who's sick, or to witness to someone who's lost, or to go and help somebody. And you know when you're in the flow of that because there's faith there. And sometimes we're perhaps not in faith. That may be something, there may be a reason that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with you. But sometimes, you know, it isn't actually God's will to do something that you want him to do, because there's some other things that God is actually wanting to do in that person's life before they get healed or before something else happens. And we need to really be sensitive at this time to the Holy Spirit's leading, and make sure that what we do in faith. Better to do one thing in faith than doing 10 things without faith. Because we'll make a mess of things and we'll frustrate the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who's living in us. But if we go with the flow and we relax and rest in him, we'll find that God will quicken faith to us for the right things at the right times. And I'm looking this morning on a church of miracles. I see Lee doing miracles. I see Martin. I see Jerry. I see Matthew and Sharon. I see you doing miracles. I see you healing people. I see you speaking words of faith and life. I see all of you in that place. I see us as a church of faith, all of you, rising up and using the faith of the Son of God who's living in you.
Hallelujah.
Now, we've got to rediscover that faith, the faith of the Son of God that's living in us. And start stepping out and using it as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen.
Amen.
And so Peter says here, it's faith in his name, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. When faith comes from God, it's easy. When faith comes from God, there's an ease about it. Because you know it'll be done. God will hear the prayer. God will answer that word that he's given to you as you speak. You know there's an ease in faith. There's an anointing that comes. There's a dynamic in the Spirit that's released when faith comes. And just go back or go forward to Galatians again, Galatians chapter 2, please. And let's just read this together, this truth, this incredible truth. Say this with me, because we've probably got slightly different versions, but just say, I have been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ.
It is no longer I who lives,
but Christ who lives in me.
And the life which I now live in the body,
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
I live by the faith of the Son of God,
who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the reason Jesus loves you and loves me and gave himself for me was so that I could live by his faith. He's imparted faith to me so that I can then exercise my spirit and the words of life, move in faith. But God imparts that to us. He's given us his faith to live by. Live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, it's all God. It's all his work. It's not based on our works. God wants us to understand that it's not based, the Christian life is not based on what I do for God. The Christian life is based on who he is and who he is living in me and who I am in him. Amen. And everything that I do will come out of that. Everything that I do can come out of that relationship that I have with him. God doesn't accept me because I do great things for him or don't do great things for him. God doesn't accept me because I'm a great witness or not a great witness. God accepts me because he sees the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ and his love for me. And my simple faith and trust in him. And I just believe that God was wanting to bring us as a church into a new place of simplicity of faith, dynamic of faith, where things just happen. I loved it the other week when we were here, and the Lord said there was a young person that he was going to heal on that particular morning. And there was a number of people healed, adults healed, and William was speaking and praying for people, and other people were praying for people as well. And a number of people got healed. But I was interested because I heard God speak to me in the morning when I prayed in the morning before, you know, when I got up in the morning. I heard God say, there's a young person I'm going to heal this morning. So that's where I was homing in on. And when this young girl came forward, she had some, I don't even know what she had, but she had something, had some pain, ongoing pain in her leg. And when we prayed for her, all I did, because God said, you just pray in my name and that don't embroider it, don't try and wait for it to happen, just believe and just release. Do you remember, was it Niall or one of the youngsters prayed actually and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Well, that, I think, you know, was that it? Yeah, that was it, because God heals by faith. And you can jump up and down and be excited. That's great. You can have lots of fire in you and do that. But sometimes, you know, all you need to do is just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And it was done. And she was healed. And I asked her afterwards, has all the, you know, are you sure? You know, just make absolutely sure that, yet all the pain completely went in an instant like that.
Hallelujah.
Now that's faith in operation. And God is wanting us to exercise faith in him in that kind of way over every area of our lives and for others too. And that faith will enable us to overcome. It's called overcoming faith. It'll get us through. It'll break through in God. And I just want to finish this morning on, if you'd like to come with me to Revelation chapter 12, right at the end of the Bible, and right at the end of the New Testament there, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Some of you may have heard the story. When many years ago, when Claire and I were looking for a property, to live, and we'd got married and we were living in this rented accommodation. And then one day God gave me a dream, and I'll just keep it really, really short. In that dream, God spoke to me and he showed me going up to a door, knocking on the door. Someone opened the door and said, and I remember saying to her, oh, I understand your house is for sale. And she said, yes, but there's someone else who's already put their money down. It's all just a formality. It's all about to go through. But if you like, you can come in and have a look round. That was the dream, okay? And to cut a very long story short, about 2 months or so later, when the property that we were after fell through, Claire sent me down on mission, right? I knocked on the door, The door opened. A lady answered the door, surprise, surprise. And she said to me, well, actually, the house is, you know, it's actually sold near enough. It's just a formality with the finance. But if you like, you can come in. Now, I knew when that happened. First of all, I knew that the dream was from God. That's the first thing. The dream was from God. And when I spoke to Claire about it, there was faith there that God was going to do something. When I actually went down there, I had to do something. When I went down there and knocked on the door, and the whole thing unfolded exactly to the detail of the dream, when I stepped over, I said, thank you, Jesus, this is our house.
Hallelujah.
All right, she said it wasn't, but God said it is already our house. He'd already determined this was going to be our next place where we would live, and he would provide for us and whatever we needed to get the house because we didn't have enough money for it. So God worked a miracle. That is the operation of faith. I felt like I didn't do very much, really. But what I did do was I eventually responded to this dream. And when I got there, so God spoke to me in that instance through a dream. God may speak to you in a dream or a vision. He may speak to you through a scripture, as he often does, or through a word from the Bible. He may speak to you through someone coming up to you and bringing a prophetic word to you of encouragement. He can speak to us in many, many, many different ways. The important thing is that if it's God speaking to you, faith will rise up, and then faith must take hold of that word, because God has given you faith to do something with. God hasn't given you faith just to leave it and just, oh, well, God's just going to do it. Well, yes, he will, but he's going to use you to exercise faith in him to do the job. Because we had about 3 or 4 months of a real testing of our faith to actually get this property. But what we did was, I'd learned by then to exercise faith in God's word and to constantly declare God's word, what God had spoken. No, I'm not even listening to the circumstances. No, God is providing. This is our house. This belongs to us. In the name of Jesus, this house is ours. This is our home. We're going to live here. This is going to be ours. God's going to provide for us. So I lived out of the faith that God had given to me. And every time I did it, faith rose a little bit more. Because we don't get everything all in an instant. Things have to be worked through in faith. It's called the perseverance of faith. It's called the obedience of faith. There's certain things that happen instantly. Wouldn't it be great if everything happened instantly? Instantly, things happened. But the fact is, we're living in the world today that things don't always instantly happen. And very often there's a reason for that. And God, part of the reason is God wants us to grow in our faith. Our faith is being tested. But if you work with faith, the faith of the Son of God, your faith will not fail you.
No.
Your faith will enable you to overcome and get that job that you're after. Your faith will enable you to overcome and give you the finances that you're in need of. Your faith will enable you to put that relationship right with that person that you struggled with. Your faith will enable you to forgive that person that's hurt you. Your faith will enable you to see many people being saved if you've not seen any saved, or perhaps seen just one or two saved. Your faith will enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not your faith in the true sense. It's God's faith given to you.
Yes.
It's all come from him. Everything that we have of any value has come from him. So it's all his anyway. And he's given it to us. It's ours, but it's his, if you know what I mean. And God is encouraging us this morning, use the faith of the Son of God to overcome. And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, I think it is, here's a heavenly picture this morning. It says here that, and war broke out in heaven. So there's a war that broke out in heaven. And Michael is a chief angel, usually associated with Israel. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. The dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out. It then tells us who this horrible great dragon is. That great dragon, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him down to the earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And verse 11. Now this is what the believers, this is what the saints or the Christians, this is what we need to do. It says, and they overcame him. Who are we supposed to be overcoming?
Satan.
And they overcame him by the
power.
No. By the blood. by the blood of the Lamb. Well, the power of God is released when we put our faith in the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, that word of their testimony isn't talking about you giving your testimony. It may include it, but it's actually declaring the word about who Jesus Christ is and who he is in you. And it's, and exercising authority. And so it says here that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, what we speak, the word of our testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. So they were totally dedicated to Christ in this life, in this scripture. And this is a scripture for us to understand that if we're to overcome, if we're to be overcomers, we overcome by putting our faith in Christ who's living in us, and by exercising the faith of the Son of God, and by thanking God that every, if you come under some attack of the devil, then you can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus represents the power, the life of God. And when you declare the blood of Jesus against Satan, he flees. Amen. So we overcome any obstacles, any difficulties that we face through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony, the word that of truth, the gospel, really, the gospel of Christ and about him living in us and who he is. That's how we overcome, through faith, putting our faith in him. And God is calling us as a church, as a people, to be overcomers. And we overcome through faith in Christ. Is this making sense? Let's all stand. Because God wants us to, just in a few minutes, just to begin to respond to him this morning. And I don't know where you're at this morning exactly. Only God really knows exactly where you're at and where I'm at in our faith walk with him. But I sense the Holy Spirit speaking words of tremendous encouragement this morning, that he is wanting us to really grow in our faith in him, and to understand that it's the faith of the Son of God that you have living in you. And through putting your faith in him and faith in his name, his authority, everything will happen. Anything can happen. All things are possible to those who believe when you exercise that faith that you've been given. So let's just close our eyes, lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just respond to God this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you've given us faith. It's not just any old faith, but it's the faith of the Son of God. Amen. It's your faith, Lord. It's your faith that you've given to us to live by. We thank you, Lord, that we are accepted in your sight this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, you're calling us as a church to be overcomers, that we overcome through faith in you, through depending upon you. Yes. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're living in each one of us this morning. And we praise you, Lord. Father, forgive us for the times when we walk in our own strength. Father, forgive me with the times when I walk in my own ability, Lord. When I trust in me rather than trusting in you. And I ask that the blood of Jesus wash me clean and cleanse me, Lord, from any dependency that I have on my own flesh, on my own self. Yes. Father, I just pray, Lord, for each one of us, Lord, I pray help us, Lord, to depend absolutely upon you. How to depend upon you, that you're living in us, Lord. And that you've given us faith to live by. And every situation that we face, every circumstance that we're in, you have something to say about it. And Lord, that we pray, Lord, that faith will begin to rise in us as we hear you speak to us, Lord. Because you say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ. So, Father, I pray, cause us to hear your voice. Cause us to hear what you're saying, Lord. And then it says that faith will come. And as we actively move in that faith that you give to us, we can see things change. Teach us how to walk by faith, Lord. Just ask the Lord to help you this morning, walk by faith. Some people think they're walking in faith and they're not walking in faith. They're walking in their heads. That what they think is faith. But God is saying, I want you to really walk by faith. God is wanting to bring us a revelation how to walk in simple faith. The faith of the Son of God. Living and walking in a dynamic of the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, walking with him day by day, depending upon him and listening to his voice and responding to him and obeying him. That's faith. And that faith that God gives to us will enable us to overcome. and won't just enable us to overcome, but will actually we stand in the gap for others to overcome as well. That we see people have breakthroughs in their relationships, breakthrough in their lives. That we see things happen because we're actually exercising the faith that God has given to us. His faith working in us. Hallelujah. Just say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, help me, Lord. Teach me how to walk by faith. The faith of the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're living in me today. Thank you that you've given me faith. Your faith that overcomes the world. Thank you, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to listen to you, to depend upon you. As I go into this new week, I will walk by faith. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm victorious in you. Thank you that you never fail. Thank you that your faith always works and brings results. And praise you this morning for faith, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Let's just give the Lord thanks for his faith. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.